it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good evening and welcome back along to another live episode of Red Tint and Glasses. And Callum, what a weekend it proved to be for the Dons. Backs against the wall, Hibs turning into prime Barcelona, if you want to believe some pundits. But it matters for nothing when you can't get to a cup final. And that's exactly what Aberdeen did, thanks to who else but Bojan Miłowski.
Exactly. I mean, actually, that prime Barcelona phrase was used by one of my Heart Sporting pals saying we were making Hibs look like prime Barcelona, but 100% records then against prime Barcelona and Real Madrid, then we'll take it.
Exactly. And it was one of them, I guess, as we said, well, you didn't because you didn't join us on the last episode, but Johnny Abley stepped in your absence about the victory over Motherwell kind of bumping up the confidence levels amongst the Aberdeen support, but having that kind of cautious optimism because we weren't sure what maybe Aberdeen defence would turn up. And I thought, yes, Hibs had some decent chances throughout, but in fairness, we defended very well.
We did defend very well, I thought, particularly defending our box after we'd got the goal. But in fairness, for all their sort of possession, all their balls across the box where there was nobody there, yeah, Kelleris wasn't really tested all that much. So for all the plaudits they are getting for how well they played or the fact that they should have won, Bruce didn't have all that much to do.
No, he didn't. And I think of what he did have to do, I'd have been disappointed if he didn't carry that out and save what was to be expected. I guess what we kind of discussed on the last episode was what, if any, changes would be made and if Barry would, you know, not kind of make any changes because it wasn't broken against Motherwell and it was really good. And I thought Leighton Clarkson deservedly kept his place in the starting lineup. And I felt a little bit sorry for Dante Polvara being dropped for Connor Barron, but you can't blame that change given how well Connor Barron's played. And as Michael said, probably the kind of importance of Joe Newell to Hibs, you probably put someone like Connor Barron in there as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was probably the one change you would have expected going into the game. And with the way Barron's been performing, probably the best performing midfielder over the course of the season so far, it would have been extremely harsh to leave him out. Unfortunate for Polvara, but it was good to see that he wasn't too disheartened to come full-time and loved him getting involved in the celebrations after being 40 yards away. So thoroughly enjoyed that. But I think Robson got it spot on. And weirdly, this 5-4-1 seems to be working. We thought, oh, that works against the good teams. We need to find a way to play against maybe some of the teams where you'd expect us to get a result. And of course, Hibs are a decent side. But away to Motherwell, for example, as well. It seems to be working in these games too. So credit to Barry and the boys for working it out. I mean, we've been critical. And I think after this sort of past couple of games, we need to give him the credit. He sussed it out.
Okay, well, on that point then, I was going to come to that a little bit later on. But since you've gone for it, I don't know if this is a wee sly dig at me. Because, of course, a few episodes ago after the Kilmarnock game, of course, you know, I was very strongly of the opinion that he wouldn't be in a job until Christmas. So, you know, hold my hands up on that. And I think as well, you know, it was pointed out to me by one of the managers at work today saying you better be apologising for some of the comments. So, because at the end of the day, in his short tenure as permanent Aberdeen manager, and I guess this is the fickle nature of being a football manager and also being a football fan as well, Barry's achieved all the goals currently set out to him by the board in terms of finishing third, getting group stage football as a result. Yes, I suppose from a fan's point of view, we would have expected better against Haken given the draw. He's then gone to Ibrox this season, won down there. What Aberdeen fan wasn't happy at that result? And now he's got us to a cup final. Despite the critics, which sitting here, you could argue that both of us have been very critical of him and some of the style of football, you have to praise him for the job he's done when it matters most. And he's stepped up along with the players and got us to that final. Yes, it was, you know, smash and grab, as I think someone put in the comments earlier. But it doesn't matter how you get to a final, as long as you win that semi-final.
Yeah, absolutely. We do need to suss out the league a little bit more. But in terms of away from the league, you know, we've been very unlucky. Something against Pauk, should have done better against Helsinki, and Haken was an interesting one. I suppose Frankfurt game as well, we could have got something from that game in a final now. So he is sort of hitting those sort of targets. However, in the league, we do need to improve things. I do sort of, in his sort of post-match interviews or discussion with sort of the pundits and presenter on Viaplay, managed to catch that later on. And he was saying about like these kind of games where you just need to win at any cost, and especially when, you know, these are sort of these tough runs on the legs and sort of emotionally as well. He was very, very keen to mention that, which I think is probably fair enough and something maybe we don't consider enough, I guess. And we absolutely did do that. It wasn't pretty. I was very stressed throughout the game. But at the end of the day, we're in the final. We've got a chance to go and win some silverware. So we can't complain. And I certainly wasn't complaining come full time after my bet had come in as well. So it was okay.
I know you had 1-0 on. But I think as well, it's a fair point, because I think it was either Neil Lennon or Scott Brown that mentioned in that kind of interview that you're speaking about, was that no one's going to remember how Aberdeen got to the final if, you know, in a few weeks' time we go on to lift the trophy. It doesn't matter. We're in the final. That's all that matters. And just when you were kind of referencing that, it brought me back to last year when we got all the praise for how well we played. Didn't get to the final. So it doesn't really matter if you play well in the semi-final. And I'm sure that's how Hibs fans will be feeling today as well. They played well on Saturday, but they're not sitting here on their Hibs podcast saying, oh, well, we played well, but we're not in a final. At the end of the day, these semi-finals are about going to get to the final as well. You know, I spoke about kind of that criticism that was probably I opened myself up to kind of say with Robson not lasting until Christmas, and, you know, the Dandy Dons of Aberdeen Twitter page as well called me spineless for sitting on the fence, because at the end of the day as well, you know, I backed that up and saying we both don't want Robson to be in that position where we want to see the changing of managers, and whoever's in charge of that page said they wanted to see someone in with experience and some competency. But as I said, in the big game, yes, there's obviously, we've mentioned the likes of Haken, you mentioned Helsinki, but he's got us to that cup final. We're delighted to be there.
Yeah, we've got a chance, another sort of month to maybe improve things in the league as well, and they've got something to look forward to. I keep going back to that chance at silverware. I'm just delighted we're in a final at this stage, with last season how our semi-final against Rangers went. I mean, ironic that we both games sort of had silly red cards, but it's something else. It's something else to lift the spirits when they maybe are thinking, you know, this is a tough run on the legs, and emotionally they are exhausted. It's something to keep them going as well, which could improve things off the pitch, as well as potentially us getting another trophy in the cabinet.
Yeah, and I guess on the flip side to that, of course, because we'll kind of look at both points of views. Regular on these lives, Kaiser 1903, he had an earlier comment as well for those that are tuning in and probably keeping up with the chat as well. So if you are live with us tonight, do keep your thoughts coming. We'll come to as many as we can. You know, he commented about that we would maybe want better than the performance that was on show on Saturday, and the point on screen was that we were a millimetre away from getting beat. Yes, getting through is all that matters, but we can't keep playing as bad as that before we come a cropper. But I think caveating that with is what Barry said. That was our fourth game in, what was it, 9 days? Hibs hadn't played that much. Graham Shinney, obviously you spoke about, you know, capturing the post-match comments. I watched them hungover on Sunday, and Graham Shinney said, you know, he wasn't even at 100%. He'd been suffering with the flu. Bojan Miovski in his post-match comments saying that that chance that he scored, that was him at his last, like, ounces of effort. He said he was done after that and was pretty much running on fumes. So I think you could, as typical sounds like Barry Robson, almost put that performance down to the fatigue and tiredness finally catching up with us, because we did have to exert a lot of effort, because I think obviously, you know, Hibs did maybe dominate in terms of chances, but the possession stats favour Aberdeen, but there would have definitely been times at the weekend where we had to do a lot of chasing of the ball.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And whilst, like, you know, I said that Kelvis wasn't tested, they did have a majority of chances, a lot of balls going across the box, and there just wasn't in there. Ironically, if they had someone like Bojan Miovski, perhaps they'd have taken one of those chances, but thankfully they don't. I do agree with Kaiser in that we can't keep playing as bad as that, because we will come a cropper. I do agree, and certainly in the final as well, it would need to be a massive improvement, because Rangers are a better side than Hibs, and we wouldn't get away with that, I wouldn't think.
No, absolutely not. But we'll come on to obviously what awaits in the final as well. But the first half especially, Callum, I was watching Blair McAnally's vlog of the game on my lunch earlier, and he was speaking at halftime about how the game kind of really felt cagey throughout that first half. It had that not lose feel about it, and I think that was a real perfect summary of the game itself, because it did feel like two teams scared to lose, but also two teams knowing how much is on the line with an absolute perfect opportunity to get to a cup final.
Yeah, it did feel like that. I wasn't halftime. I wasn't necessarily like disappointed with how it had gone up to that point. I didn't think we'd been terrible. Hibs had been the better side. They had a couple of chances. I know Joe Newell had one sort of straight at Kelleris, which was a very easy save. Elie Yuan, however, though, after about 10 minutes, leant back on a shot and put it over the bar where he should have hit the target and potentially scored. So there was a few times, a few hairy moments, but overall, I didn't think we were terrible. And I thought if we just keep that composure in the final third, but also maybe take on the shot when there is that opportunity, which I didn't feel we were doing in the first half, then we could perhaps improve there. But I think you could tell it was a very cagey affair in that first half, especially. I think probably throughout, to be honest. You could tell that they were very, very tired. And they were giving it all. And credit to them all for sticking together. And I think, as someone mentioned, sorry, I can't remember who it was, at the end, the celebrations. I think us seeing those celebrations shows they are together. And you saw that on the pitch as well, too, I felt.
Yeah, Paul Riki there commenting about the way the players celebrating shows that they are together. And as you mentioned, the fact that Dante Polvara sprinted at half the length of the pitch just to even join in those celebrations. There is that unity. I don't know if Paul's referring to the way they celebrated with the fans or the actual, because again, watching that video that Blair did, there was pretty much a huddle of the players just inside the Hibs half. At full time, that is again kind of referring to that togetherness. There was, I think, Nicky Devlin was slumped on the floor probably because he was well out on his feet. Again, Barry Robson commenting on the fact that he was cramping up that last 10 minutes. And I guess kind of the comments about from Barry Robson as well, that he didn't want to weaken the effort by taking players off for the sake of it, maybe showing again what we were speaking about last time out, about Barry learning from his mistakes, because, you know, at halftime, as you said, we maybe weren't bad, but we weren't great. But like Pauk at home, we were in the game and maybe working to a game plan, and the game plan was working to allow us to be more progressive in the second half. So as much as Barry's a rookie manager and has been making some mistakes that's frustrating the hell out of us, there's signs that he's maybe beginning to learn. It's just going to have to be a bit painful at times for us to learn the hard way.
Yeah, I think so. I suppose when you consider the Pauk game, and where he made changes when we were in a comfortable enough position that ultimately cost us, then you would have thought maybe in this game there was times where he could have maybe freshened it up. But as he mentioned, as you've just reiterated there, he didn't want to do it just for the sake of it in terms of freshening things up. If, you know, our best players are out there, and we didn't come a cropper as a result. So hopefully that is a sign that he is learning, and, you know, he will make these mistakes. He's probably, well, not necessarily him, it's been criticised, but it's been mentioned that it's unfortunate that it's sort of at this level that he's making these mistakes, and maybe not further down the food chain, but at the same time, we couldn't have not given him the job. So it's at least encouraging that he is perhaps starting to learn, which, I mean, these things do happen. I mean, if I'm in a new job, I'm going to make mistakes as well. I'm going to have to learn on the job.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you have started your new job, so I hope that's going well. And I don't know if that was just a shout out to your employers that if you make mistakes, you're still learning. Clara, I don't know about you, Callum, but I was sitting today after watching continuously more highlights. I can't help but think back to the last time we won the League Cup. And I felt like Saturday was very reminiscent of that game at Fir Park as part of that League Cup winning run, where we didn't play great. We played a lot longer that night with 10 men than we did at the weekend, but somehow out of nothing came away with a victory. And I know a lot of people during that cup run walked away from Fir Park that night and thought, you know what, our name's on the trophy. And I don't know, maybe it's still me getting carried away totally from the weekend, but that's what I'm clinging on to now, that, you know, we weren't playing our best. We played the last 15-20 minutes when we should have, theoretically, with the amount of games we've played, be at our most fatigued, yet we looked miles better than Hibs once we went down to 10 men. And as Barry said, Boyan should have had a hat trick, to be honest. Let's not get into the second attempt at the finish yet. But really positive signs that despite all that, we've come through and put ourselves in the final. And obviously we're going to come on and speak about that a little bit as well. But yeah, I think some people do look to kind of look back at what's happened before, and that's where I'm going with that.
I do sort of feel similar. I do feel we've got a good chance. And it's funny because you mentioned about that game. And I remember afterwards, McInnes came out and said, they sort of speaking about the red card, or it's fine since we're through, and Joe Stanislaw and Chipper on the way home. And I didn't even think about the association of that. But immediately after we'd won, I thought, Jack McKenzie must be absolutely buzzing himself. Let's show he's getting the cans in or something, or the fish and chips on the way home. And it sort of made that association. So maybe there is weirdly a link. And of course, Robson won it as a player with us. Now it's time to do it as a manager.
Yeah, and I saw someone, I can't remember if it was Red Point of View on Twitter as well, was saying, you know, Shinny as well played with us earlier, went down to England, came back, captaining the side, spoke about how he wishes in his, you know, first spell he won a trophy, and we should have. Unfortunately, we all know what we came up against in those finals under Derek McInnes. But Russell Anderson played for us, didn't win a trophy, went down to England, came back, captained us to a League Cup. And there's another similarity for all those that clutch on those sort of things. So I'll be earning for more of that throughout the next few weeks.
You're going to be looking at every single little possible link, aren't you?
Well, my other one was with Jack McKenzie now getting sent off. The two yellow cards mean he does miss the final. It's not as previous where he would actually have gone on to miss the next game, which of course would be Celtic away. Chance now for Jimmy McGarry to come in, of course, won a trophy last season with Central Coast Mariners. Or could this be the story for Johnny Hayes to come in? Remember what happened to Johnny Hayes last time in the League Cup, injured early on. Maybe a chance to prove himself in the League Cup final after missing out last time.
Maybe. And I'm not going to talk on Johnny Hayes at the moment.
I was maybe clutching a bit of straws there on Johnny Hayes, but I was going down the McGarry route as well. Speak about the Jack McKenzie red card. I'll be honest, I totally missed the first yellow card. I'm going to say it was because I was queuing for a pie, not because I was severely intoxicated. But thoughts on Jack's getting that second yellow?
Stupid. Very stupid. I don't know why he's doing that. The fact he's actually like chased after him a little bit is mental. I thought he was doing well up until that point as too, and certainly been better in recent weeks, but he sort of lost the run of himself there. And it was very, very silly. I didn't even see it at the time. And I was watching. I wasn't getting a pie. I didn't really notice what happened, but the Hibs fans were fuming. However, you know, this is maybe giving him too much credit, but Lewis Miller maybe, you know, lost his rag a little bit. I mean, there was a few times he was throwing himself down very early. And it was sort of an interesting battle throughout the game. But then, of course, it's him that throws himself to the deck after Shinny breathes on him and we go on to score. So maybe, yeah, you know, maybe Jack McKenzie in his head a little bit there. But it was very, very silly. Thankfully, it didn't matter. Unfortunate for him that he missed out on the final. However, a good thing that we will at least have McGarry back by that point.
Yeah, no, and Jimmy McGarry is back in training as well, so hopefully he can get some minutes in that Eintracht Frankfurt game before the final, an ideal opportunity to boost his match minutes, I'm sure. But it was so frustrating as well because the initial kind of foul for the second yellow or incident, if we want to call it, I was following the ball. So again, totally missed the retaliation. But what... it was needless. He didn't need to retaliate and on a booking, but for some reason we seem to enjoy picking up the most stupid of red cards in League Cup semi-finals just now.
Yeah, we do. It was very stupid. There's no getting away from it. Hopefully he'll learn. And I just don't even care enough to be annoyed because we ended up winning the game. Had we lost, had we all gone on to loss though, I would have been fizzing.
Yeah, I know. It's probably a good thing for Jack that we didn't go on to lose because it's a shame. I think, you know, me and Johnny were speaking on the last episode how good he's kind of become and how well he's been growing into that role at left wing back. So to kind of have that moment of madness and a moment of madness that could have cost us so much, you know, he's had such a high of the season, obviously, with goal at Ibrox, to then potentially have cost his boyhood team a spot at a cup final, I'm sure would have stuck with him for a while. And it'll stick with him for a while as well, because, of course, as I said, now he's got to sit out that final.
Yeah, it is a shame, because he certainly has been coming on to a game. And I think he will be kicking himself. But you can imagine the relief he'd have gone through when he heard... well, I don't know if he'd have known. I presume they had a screen. But when... you obviously found the back of the net, the relief he must have felt would have been astounding.
Yeah. On the defence as well, how much of the Ruby diving header to clean out two Hibs defenders did you catch?
Impeccable. I thought it was hilarious at the time. I'm watching back, arguably even more funny. But at the time I thought he'd been tripped and then I couldn't really understand how they then got the free kick. However, he kind of wasn't tripped. I don't know. It looked like, I think it was maybe Boyle or someone was sort of gone near him, and then he was fine and then stumbled and just went head first, taking two of them out at the same moment. It was quite incredible. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about with Rubisic. I mentioned it, I don't know, a month ago, where he just does something really funny every now and then, and it's brilliant. Not a costly mistake. Very, very, very funny. However, what's not very funny is his links to Tottenham. What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, I woke up on Sunday and I thought, am I dreaming or still drunk? Because what the hell are the Evening Express doing tweeting that there was a Tottenham scout, you know, catching the eye of Rubisic? And I think in one of the group's chats was, they said, did he catch the eye because he punted the ball into the area where the scouts were sitting? But, I mean, the tackle with his head alone, I mean, anybody on the pitch, that had to be him. I think it's weird, but I guess in this day and age, he is a stats man's dream because his passing percentage is so high, his aerial duels are so high. But if we just need to look at signing players based on good data, well, that can be costly. I'll present Jaden Richardson.
Yes, that's very fair. Absolutely mental, but also, once again, hilarious. And the fact it's him just makes it even more funny. If they want to pay, you know, 10, 20 times what we paid for him, then that's fine by me.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've seen the inflation rates of the game down in England, so I'm sure we can get a good price for him. We had to defend well, as we've already spoken about, throughout the game. And Hibs had one moment of success, and it was Martin Boyle with a ball, receiving the ball over the top, and those lucky boots where he scored the hat-trick against Rangers. and obviously posting them on his Instagram about getting the Bad Boys back out to do the business this Saturday. Well, they found the back of the net, but I mean, the boots were onside, but his shoulder wasn't.
Yeah. Nick Montgomery's thoughts, very odd. Seeing about how it can be clear and obvious. Offside isn't, you know, subjective. It's you're either off or you're on. It shouldn't have taken as long as it did. However, I'm glad that they at least came to the right decision by that point. That was frustrating how long it took and quite ridiculous. However, they came to the right decision, so we can't really complain. And I don't know how any Hibs fan can really complain about it, let alone Nick Montgomery, who... or maybe give him his due, maybe he hadn't seen it back by that point. But it's a matter of fact, you're either offside or you are or you aren't. And thankfully he was, because I tell you what, at the time I was not convinced whatsoever.
No, I was more raging that's how we'd got cut apart, because I think Hibs had tried everything under the sun apart from hoofing it up the pitch. And the one time they did, they got success. And for me, I was more raging at how easily they cut us apart. In that sense. But I think the thing is with VAR, the longer it goes on, the more confident you feel. But the length of time that took was ridiculous for a match-going fan.
Yeah, it was. It was very, very frustrating. I mean, the Hibs fans, they've celebrated, and then however long it took, it felt like about 5 minutes, honestly. To then find out the goal's disallowed. First of all, hilarious from our point of view. However, if you imagine that was us, it would be infuriating for us having to wait all that time to find out. The players as well, just trying to get on with the game. And all of a sudden they've just got to stand and wait about for however long. Very, very frustrating. Shouldn't be taking that long, but at least it was the correct decision, I suppose. Had it taken that long and it was the wrong decision, that would have been very bad.
Very, very true. Hibs also had, obviously you spoke about Nick Montgomery's kind of comments in relation to the length of time that VAR took, but also the fact that if it takes that long, then the benefit should just be given to the attacking side, which is absolutely nonsense, as you say. When it comes to onside, offside, there is no debate around that. You either are or you aren't. So maybe just trying to cover up. There was a little bit of debate around the Dylan Vente penalty claim that Hibs had. I don't know where you were sitting at the weekend, but from my seat in B6 in the West End, I was stunned John Beaton didn't point to the spot when he went down under that challenge from Kelrose.
I was also stunned. I was a couple sections from where the ultras were, who, by the way, credit kept going throughout the whole game, even when there wasn't a lot to shout about whatsoever. So full credit to them. And I thought probably a penalty. I thought he was going to give it because I thought he'd probably be desperate to give it. However, once again, have to credit him and the officials, because from one angle, it looks like, oh, that's a definite penalty. Roos has just clattered into him. From the other one, the sort of reverse, if you like, Dylan Vente just dives, and it's horrendous. And for all the criticism Hibs fans, the Hibs Twitter admin have given Duke in recent times, for then that to happen, and to be honest, didn't realise Dylan Vente was playing, so he did fuck all throughout the rest of the game, is quite ridiculous. So get it right up them.
Yeah, which is exactly what I said to Michael in the preview as well, when he mentioned that about Dylan Vente and what he can bring. And I said, well, who knew? Because I thought he was fucking terrible when they came up here last time. And yeah, he did absolutely fuck all again at the weekend. But you're absolutely right. That point about the angle, the one from behind the goal, as you referred to, was the first angle I saw. And I was like, bloody hell, how the hell has VAR kind of looked at that and gone, John, you don't even need to come and, you know, take a look at the monitor or anything. But the side on almost angle, yes, Vente gets to the ball first, but then he just kind of stops and just flops over Kel. And it was an absolute clear dive. And I actually don't know how, it didn't really even feel that there was a long check, if any.
No, they must have just looked at that angle and thought, absolutely not. Yeah. It's also one of those other ones where, you know, where like, even if he did make contact, like, there's no way he's going to do anything with the ball because it's already out of play by the time he even made contact, I suppose. So there's that as well. And I know you said Venti got to the ball first, but I watched it a couple of times this morning, and I did struggle to tell who actually made contact with the ball. So there's that too. But ultimately, correct decision. And
and I think it's one of those as well where, going back to Nick Montgomery's clear and obvious, for me, that's not a clear and obvious mistake to maybe get John Beaton over to the monitor. It was one of those, well, he's not given it, but, you know, look, had he somehow gone to give it, you'd have been absolutely raging at the time. But again, clutching at straws with Hibs fans then claiming that that incident with Dylan Venti was exactly the same as how Rangers got their penalty yesterday, but absolutely was not, because Xander Clark was absolutely careless in wiping out whoever the hell he wiped out for the penalty. So I don't know how they're drawing comparisons between the two.
Yeah, no, me neither. It's sort of one of the ones, however, I do wonder, had he beaten given it originally, would there have been enough to overturn it to not be a penalty?
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, we've said that a couple of times this season. You know, I think I referenced the Eintracht Frankfurt game, and probably the same against Pauk with the Jack McKenzie incident as well, although it's maybe a bit more extreme. As the game went on, obviously, we've spoken about fatigue and tired legs and the need to change what we had. And Barry Robson made a change in bringing on Dante Polvara. I mean, if you were doing a pre-season sweepstake, if you had Dante Polvara down as being Aberdeen's big game player, fair play is all I've got to say for that.
I know. I mean, so he grabbed goal in Frankfurt, grabbed goal against Pauk, and then an assist, well, a co-assist with the big man upstairs for Bojanowski in this game. And I thought he came on. It was absolutely the right moment to. And you know what? I just quite like the man. It turns out the way, I know you mentioned it earlier, the way he sprinted over. I noticed it at the time when he came flying in and slid. And the video's even better because you see just how far he sprinted to be desperate in joining in the celebrations. And I just enjoy the man. Plus the photo of him at Charleston Battery with the cannon's pretty funny.
Yeah, but it's a player that pretty much when he went to Charleston, a lot of people had written off his Aberdeen career, and he's come in and, like a lot of the players, really knuckled down and got to work under Barry Robson. And like a couple of other players, again, probably maybe down to the fact that Barry Robson played in midfield, has become a changed player. And I spoke about kind of his involvement in Motherwell, where he did a lot of the dirty work and maybe didn't get as much recognition as he has done in some of the bigger games. But his hold-up play this season, he's still, for me, not the biggest in terms of he's not bulked up as much as maybe some people would have expected. But his general hold-up play and being able to swat off some of the players is really impressive this season. But the way he's stepped up to kind of show for the ball and his range of passing as well this season, because that assist, and was he not involved in the one of the goals in Europe as well with one of the through balls? Maybe memories like a sieve again, but yeah, just the impression that he's kind of put on this Aberdeen team since almost being a castaway.
Yeah, I think he's sort of exactly what you'd want out of an Aberdeen midfielder who's, you know, he's perhaps been on the periphery. He seems to really have bought in. He seems to give his all, and he's coming up in big moments. And you'd like to think that he'll only continue to get better the more opportunities he gets, because right now he's producing. So if he keeps getting these opportunities, he will only improve. And that's something I quite like, because on the face of it, he's got absolutely all the attributes he needed to be a success in this league, and, you know, maybe even beyond one day.
Yeah, exactly. And one player that I'm sure will go for success beyond this club, but hopefully we keep him for a while, is, of course, Bojan Miovski. And what a finish. I mean, everything about that goal is so aesthetically pleasing, from the way Graham Chenet wins the ball to Lewis Miller getting brushed off after, of course, his involvement in the red card. The through ball for Bojan. Dante blessing himself, as you mentioned, as Bojan's away to hit the ball. But the video of the build-up from the fans, the excitement, the noise building, the go on to the silence as soon as the ball leaves Bojan's foot, to the just sheer ecstasy as the ball nestles in that bottom corner. You can tell it's been watched many a time by Aberdeen fans since it's been put out, can't you?
Oh, I'm well above 20 at this point. Also, the fact that it's Martin Boyle that tries to get there and clear it off the line is just excellent. Dylan Levitt, they're paying $7,000 a week for, apparently. Looks like he's running in treacle, can't get anywhere near Bojamiowski. Obita as well, after he'd been a little money bastard throughout the game. Also, just puffing and puffing, couldn't get there. It's just all beautiful. And what a finish from Bojamiowski. The video footage of him at the end of the game when it pans to him after he'd gone off, after working his socks off all game as well, it's just excellent. And he is someone who's really kicked on this season, you feel. I think that was his 28th Aberdeen goal, I read somewhere. I think it's 10th of the season already. And even without the goal, his work off the ball for a lot of it, putting defenders under pressure, was just astounding as the lone striker up there. And if it had to be him, that sort of sealed it for us, didn't it? And won me £145, so get in.
Yeah, and it was such a composed finish, and it had to be composed. It had to be clinical at the time, because we had been under the cosh, as Sportsman would probably tell you, and we were being battered by all sides. But that was, for me, certainly, as I said, my recollection's a bit hazy, but the first kind of clear opportunity I remember us having. And boy, were we clinical. But as you said, Levitt's attempt at getting back, I think it was Andy Mack I saw on Twitter today, saying the way he finished tracking back was like Usain Bolt easing up after he'd won the 100 metres. As soon as he got to the box, he was like, ah, fuck it, I know what's coming here. It just sparked wild celebrations in the stand. I think relief more than anything. And I think Johnny had said as well in the comments earlier, as soon as we scored, almost that sense of, well, I don't see him scoring twice, but I actually didn't even score. I think I agree with Johnny. What he said was, I didn't even think they were going to score at all, just from how many chances that they'd wasted throughout the game so far.
They seemed to get incredibly desperate. There was a couple opportunities. Devlin's blocked. Did that come before the goal or after? I can't quite remember. I know Doyle's header wide. Yeah, after. Well, I knew Doyle's header wide after something came after. But they seemed becoming really desperate, and they were just lobbing balls in the box. And then at that point, I thought Slobodan Ribasic really, showed why he's in that team. He headed absolutely everything away. Credit to the rest of them as well. Jensen, who'd been on a booking for some amount of time. Gartenman too. Keller Roos taking the pressure off a lot of the time, coming collecting the crosses, lying on the ball, taking up the time. Jamie McGrath with his head knocks, just eating up that clock. It was was it 7 minutes added on? I think it went a little bit beyond that because Miowski was down as well. It was just... it seemed like that's where you really saw that togetherness before we saw it at the full-time whistle. And it was just the relief when the full-time whistle eventually came was incredible. If you could bottle up that feeling, likewise, for Miowski's goal and sell it, you'd be a millionaire.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime I feel sad, I'm just going to think about that Miowski goal, and it'll cheer me up for the next month. But, speaking about the blocks that the likes of Devlin put in, as Mini Sav says, given how many diving blocks our collective defence had thrown in, I think you've referred to the majority there, watching Levitt not even bothered was pathetic. And I think, most of the Hibs tracking back for that goal was pretty pathetic. But you also mentioned Bojan's reaction at a full time, of course, North Macedonian striker reaching his first ever cup final in that, and the way he embraces Craig Sampson at full time was very emotional on a Sunday morning after you'd woken up from the night before.
I can imagine, especially as you remember barely any of the game as well. So I can imagine you were rather tender on the Sunday morning. Also though, Johnny Hayes, the way he hugged Bojamiowski after he scored as well.
I want to be hugged the way Johnny Hayes hugs Miowski.
Oh, it really was quite something. And Nicky Devlin's celebration as well. I saw someone tweet, forgive me, I can't remember who it was, but like he celebrates every goal as if he's just leathered in from 30 yards, and I love that.
But even as well, that goal, both him and Leighton Clarkson, as you said, Nicky Devlin almost enjoys celebrating either in front of or with the fans more than with his teammates, because him and Leighton Clarkson both ran in one direction and the rest of the team ran the other. But again, kind of going back to how much it meant for him personally in terms of Bojan, but the team collectively as well. And like he said, after he scored that goal, he said, I'm glad it went in because, you know, he was done physically. But God, that, as I think Paul Donaldson had said in the comments, the last 10 minutes could have been a lot less nail-biting if he'd scored his next chance. I mean, all for all the credit in the world for that first chance, what's he trying to chip that for the next time he's through one-on-one? Just do the same again, man.
I know. And the fact that it didn't go, like, it's not like he tried to chip it and it went over the bar or Marshall dealt with it. It was the fact it just sort of went very pitifully wide as well. Was quite upsetting because that would have really sealed it. However, not to worry, because thankfully he is impeccable and did score his other chance. Then I suppose there's also when he got, I don't know, bundled over is the right word, but a nudge from Will Fish. I did sort of wonder, why would he not take the shot on it unless it was a foul? I haven't seen it back. He did throw himself down. There was contact. I think a booking was harsh. It's probably not a penalty either, though. But I just wish he'd managed to get this shot off before then, because it would have made things a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, and that's obviously where Barry was referring to. But it's not a dive. I'm with you on that, and I agree. I think a booking's extremely harsh, given there is contact of some form on his back, because Fisher's hand does make it onto Bojan's back. I don't know how much he's wanting the contact or hoping that he gets touched so that he can just go down. But I think, as someone pointed out yesterday, there was similar contact between Bojan and I'm not sure the Hibs defender involved, where again Bojan touches the Hibs defender's back and they throw themselves down. And I think that's actually what led to Bojan being booked, if memory serves.
No, he got booked by Ivan.
Oh yeah. And you can tell
he's doing well. Best.
Yeah. But again, you know, in terms of that incident where the linesman flags vigorously for a free kick, and I don't think the linesman even gets involved for Bojan going down, that was solely on the referee.
It was. And the player in question, I believe, was Jordan Obita, who came in for some abuse after some of his antics throughout the game.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, as you said, the poor finishing didn't come back to bite us. And a terrific spot, as we mentioned, to whoever managed to, was the first person to find Dante Polvara blessing himself as Bojan ran through that. It was much needed, but look, most of us would have had faith on Bojan finding the back of the net. And it's sealed a return to the League Cup final. And it will be a cup final against Rangers. That cup final has been confirmed for Sunday, the 17th of December, with a 3 o'clock kickoff. I know there was some debate about what time the game would be on social media today. Can't wait for a month of ticket allocation chat, though, Callum.
I know. Let's be honest, the only way it can be seen is fair. It's a final at a neutral ground where a team desperately doesn't have an end that they get every single time they play there. It's a 50-50 split. If we don't sell it all, whatever, give it back to them, that's fine. But they've got to be given the chance first.
Yeah, and I quoted at Dandy_all on social media today when he said, look, the truth is the week before Christmas on a Sunday, we're unlikely to sell out 50% of Hampden, but we should be given the opportunity to try. And if we don't, Rangers can happily have the seats. An uneven split means our governing body is happy to give one team an advantage. And as you said, at a neutral venue where two teams have dedicated ends that nobody seems to ever question, but I think it's right that we should be at least given the right to sell 50% of the tickets. I'm probably in agreement that we probably won't. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think we will sell 50%. I saw a few folk as well saying that the club should just buy the 50% anyway, just to do Rangers over.
I'm on board with that. That would be a good laugh. Just give them out to, you know, get the Dons Day Outlaw out after they were, you know, very loud against St Johnstone the other week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of you have also kind of commented throughout the show tonight, and I did want to pick up on it as well, Callum. Was Barry's comments after the game as well and being in the final, the fact that we play Eintracht Frankfurt on the Thursday before the cup final. I know there's a few Rangers fans tuning into the episode tonight as well, saying, well, Barry never commented on the fact that Real Betis play us on the Thursday. Well, at the time we got to the final, yous weren't even in the final. So that's why. But on that, Callum, how much of a factor is that European football on the Thursday night pre-cup final going to have on, well, we're going to look at the Aberdeen perspective, but the cup final in general?
I think, to be honest, as a spectacle as a whole, it will have an effect. And it's a very weird timing as well. The week right before Christmas just seems odd. I do quite enjoy that. It's in the first half of the season. However, right before Christmas seems stupid. I think the fact both teams are playing in Europe prior will have an effect on the game, no doubt. Thankfully, however, Rangers are away. So that's slightly better than given the fact we're at home. There's a decent chance we might be out by then, so we could just rotate the squad. So at least there's that. But it does seem like just very stupid planning sort of all around. And also, not only in terms of the players, the week before Christmas, a cup final when both teams have been in Europe, fans are already, from both sides, spending a lot of money to go abroad. It's just sort of, it seems very, very silly.
Yeah. Look, I think, you know, you said there's a fair chance that we'll be out by then. Let's be honest, we'll probably be out by Thursday, this time on Thursday, if we're not already out. Obviously, I know it's not mathematically possible, but I think there's a significant chance, obviously, depending what happens, this set of match day, that the Rangers game against Rangers, Real Betis, sorry, will mean something, especially, of course, with third place kind of carrying into, with them being in the Europa League, the third place falls into the Conference League. So something is likely to be riding on their game. The fact they have to travel to Spain, their game will kick off at, well, 8 p.m. UK time, will be, what, 9 o'clock Spanish time. They then got to travel back where the early kickoff that Thursday as well. So, you know, it's only a couple of hours, but every little counts. But you'd like to think, I'm really looking forward to this game and seeing Ordadia make his Aberdeen debut.
Against Frankfurt. Yeah. Reece Williams as well, while we're at it.
Ross Doohan.
Why have you upset me by mentioning these players that we're spending wages on? However, what I will say is, with how involved those two, well, those three actually were, especially in the celebrations after the game, it doesn't look like people with bad attitudes.
No, that's fair. But I don't see why, you know, as much as maybe Barry's making the point about it, look, we've got a squad, let's use them and literally play the kids. Whoever's registered that hasn't played European football, give them a taste of it. Bojan Miolski better not take the pitch against Eintracht Frankfurt. Protect him at all costs. But that's a problem for a few months away, and something I'm sure many of us will continue to get excited about over the next few weeks, because, of course, you mentioned European football and there's a chance we might be out. And as I say, likely that happens on Thursday as the Dons travel to Greece, Callum, and what feels a very tricky fixture after, you know, seeing how impressive Pauk have been so far in Europe this season. I think we both agree they weren't the best against us at Pataudry, but you just need to look at their result from the weekend. 4-0 up away to Olympiacos before conceding two late goals, but running out 4-2 winners overall. It's going to be a tough ask to get any sort of result on Thursday, isn't it?
And what I imagine will be a very intimidating atmosphere as well. Yeah, they're a very good side. I don't think they played quite to their best at Pataudry. I thought we were decent. We still ended up throwing it away. However, the fact we were 2-0 up does give me a slight bit of confidence. However, I do emphasise that it is very slight, given we played well, still threw it away and lost the game, and the fact they've just slapped Olympiacos about in their domestic season.
Yeah, and look, but that confidence that you might have, I'm going to just piss all over that, basically, given the fact that, you know, Hearts played extremely well against Pauk at Tynecastle and then got absolutely battered 4-0 over there. So, to be honest, my expectations are pretty low going into this game. And I just wonder, you know, given obviously the excerpts that the players have put out over the past few days in the games, do you see any changes coming into this game? Obviously, I spoke about Graham Shinney, you know, not being at 100% with the flu. Mm. Nicky Devlin was cramping up. Bojan Miovski was knackered. Look, I think it's fair to say there's zero pressure on Thursday, but we don't want to go over there and get absolutely embarrassed, do we?
It's a tough one because it feels like a very tough game to go into. It seems unlikely we are going to get a result, but there is the off chance that we could go there and get a result, and then that does blow the group sort of wide open once again, which I'm really trying not to get excited about the prospect of. However, that would then make it very, very silly to rest. You mentioned those players.
Mm.
Sort of all of our best players at the moment. However, they are, you know, they certainly, Shinney was struggling. I noticed Nicky Devlin through the game as well. And Bojan Miovski mentioned that that was the last bit of power he had for the goal. Maybe it is the time to give the likes of Esther Sokler a start from the off with Bojan Miovski on the bench. Graham Shinney perhaps could drop out with Paul Vara coming back in, I guess. Other than that, I can't see all that many changes. I imagine Jack McKenzie will continue to start, having performed very well, very, very well lately, out with that red card. And the defence as a whole seems pretty settled at the moment. Like, can you imagine Ordadia coming in for his first start at Pauk away?
Well, I'm sure he's played in some intimidating atmospheres when he was at Hapoel Beersheva, but no, in short, but I just wonder as well, you know, obviously we've been speaking about the kind of the league and not obviously wanting to kind of rectify the way we've kind of been playing in the league. It's going to be a tough ask to follow after Thursday away to Celtic. Of course, they're in action this midweek. They play Atletico Madrid. I think it's tomorrow night they play. And we all know what their record like is away from home in Europe. So we're going into the international break after the weekend. Maybe Barry's just going to say, just suck it up and give me what you can for the last few games, and let's reassess when we come back after the international break, because it's two tough league fixtures we've got on the back of this trip to Greece. Of course, a preview of the League Cup final at the end of the month.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a favourable run at the moment, is it? Which sort of makes me even more glad that we did get that result against Motherwell. Mm. That certainly helps us out. But I think it's an interesting point you make on the international break, because I imagine that is what is going to happen. Maybe Bojan Miovski the exception, who is obviously very likely to go away. However, Devlin, Shinney, and a few others perhaps maybe struggling, perhaps won't be going away. So that probably would suggest that he is going to keep it how it is, and they're just going to have to get through. And I suppose they're also on that emotional high as well, where we've been used to the emotional lows perhaps more recently. Yeah. And that might be able to get them through, knowing that if we do get a result out of there, then there is a chance that we could progress.
But, you know, in saying that as well, like, there's no pressure on Thursday, that plays into our hand as well, because no one's expecting us, I think, to go out and get a result. So that does ease the pressure slightly?
I think so. All pressure certainly on Pauk, especially at home. They've done very, very well so far in Europe this season. Obviously, dispatched of Hearts as well prior to the groups. And are going all right in the league. And they'll, of course, be on a pretty big high. I believe they're away to Olympiacos too. So all the pressure is on them. So I suppose that might give us a little bit more freedom. However, I still am worried that we will just be getting picked apart. Let's hope not.
Let's hope not. But as Pedro73 said earlier in the episode, this time last week, you never thought we'd have got through the two games we played well and won, struggled in the semi, but in the final, you know. And I think Pedro73 actually had said on that Monday live after Kilmarnock that, you know, we needed to see two wins along with good performances. We saw one good performance in Motherwell, but the two wins, especially the second one, was the most important thing. So yes, this may be a bit of a kind of sour end to the episode in terms of what's to come on Thursday. But I think by and large, this has been a most welcomed positive podcast on the back of that victory against Motherwell. And one certainly, as Pedro 73 alludes to 7 days ago, Callum, I don't think both of us could have imagined sitting here still thinking that we'd be sitting in a cup final.
No, even after we inexplicably beat Motherwell, which I'm still not really sure where that came from out of nowhere, I wasn't particularly confident going into the semi-final. We now find ourselves in a final. We're back in amongst it, sort of on the league front. And however, I will caveat all of this by saying I hope you all enjoyed this positive podcast, because take one look at the fixture schedule and just think there might not be another one for a wee while.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And on the back of that as well, thank you to all of you that continue to come up to us over the weekend as well to say you do enjoy the show. And those of you that tune in live, whether it be on your laptop, your TV screens, or catching up with the show on audio or wherever you do it, it's really appreciated. And those that continue to follow us on social media, at RTG_podcast on X, formerly known as Twitter, if I want to sound like the BBC, at RTG.podcast on Instagram, although Callum's very lax on posting updates on there. We don't really use it, to be honest. And then following us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and those to you as well that subscribe here on YouTube. All the support is, you know, really thoroughly appreciated. We don't do much to promote ourselves other than really post ourselves on that Twitter page, and I chuck a post up on my Facebook page that Callum shares and however many people interact. So, you know, to get as many of you tuning in live with us on a Monday night and, you know, sharing the episodes with your friends and Aberdeen fans alike, it really does mean a lot. And as Callum said, especially when the fixture list looks the way it does in the coming weeks, for sticking with us through the good times and bad times, it does mean a lot.
Yeah, there certainly could be more bad times to come, but let's hope not.
Let's not end too negatively, because we do have a cup final to look forward to, and I'm looking forward to the build up to that coming up. And remember that game on Thursday night is a 5:45 kickoff UK time, so make sure you get your work done early and get away from work on time to find however you're going to watch it. For those that don't have TNT, if it's on that, I'll be using that perfectly legal site that you sent me, Callum, to watch the game. But thanks very much for tuning in to this episode of Red Tinted Glasses. Remember, if you have been watching on YouTube, leave a like on the video, subscribe if you're new, and remember to follow wherever you've been listening to the show as well. Till next time, see you then. Sports Social Podcast Network.